Hey cuz, welcome to Coco Conjure. Here we talk about all things hoodoo, folklore, and spiritual journeys. If you haven't guessed already, my name is Coco. Thank you so much for hanging out with me today. If you could be so kind, please hit the like and subscribe button. I promise you, we're going to have a good time. I'm going to tell you a personal story, I think. So we're going to have fun. So December is a 5-Sunday month. So that means I get to take a week and just talk to you about anything I would like without research or outlines or scripts or, you know, whatever else, without me being a nerd. Usually I talk about something that's been really heavy on my mind. And after the events that happened to me over the last couple of days, I want to talk about reactiveness or like how we emotionally regulate, you know. I don't know any fancy term to explain that. So I hope you feel what I say when I mean reactiveness or emotional regulation. Okay, so let me just tell you what happened. So, because y'all know I moved into a new place. I'm on the first floor and there is a basement level. So I'm on the first floor and then there's an apartment below me in the basement. Y'all, why my neighbor below me call the cops on me for a noise complaint? Yeah. So it's 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday. I'm making myself a cup of coffee, talking to my mom about how my neighbor was just like at my door screaming at me. And there's a cop car that just pulled up outside. And then knock, knock, knock. There's a cop in my door. Cop is like, good morning. I'm wearing a camera. I got a noise complaint. And then like he peeks behind me and realizes it's just me in the house with my TV on. Then he says, I don't know what's going on. So, you know, I break it down for him and I'm going to break it down for you. This is what happened my Saturday morning. Okay. So I've got some appointments before the sun comes up for Saturday. So on Friday, I go to bed earlier than normal. Let's say I'm in bed by 9:30. Reading my little romance novel, you know, and Grace Jones, my cat, is next to me, staring at me, mad at me because she wants me to feed her at 9:30. But she's fat and we got to put her on a diet. So no extra treats. Right. So all night I'm hooked up to my Snuffleupagus CPAP machine. It's just the nose piece. A CPAP machine, if you don't know, is to help you if you stop breathing at night. So I have some health issues. I'm very much overweight. I stop breathing at night. So I have to wear the Snuffleupagus CPAP machine that's just the nose piece. It's not the full CPAP machine with like the full Darth Vader mask or the air pilot, you know, mask like you see in movies. No. It's just the elephant trunk sticking out of my face, pushing air into my nose so I don't die in my sleep. Right. And this thing has got me trapped in my bed all night long. Now, it's a new model, so it's hella quiet. Like as long as I have the nose piece on, you can't hear a damn thing. Not really. I'm on that thing from like 10:30 at night. So an hour after I get into bed Friday night, to 6 o'clock Saturday morning. I have Grace in bed with me because she likes to sleep in my feet and she wakes me up in the morning so I can feed her, since I did not feed her the night before at 9:30, you know, for a fourth dinner or whatever. So at 6 a.m. on the dot, Grace Jones wakes me up because she's ready for her morning meal. Little does Grace know, that's not going to happen because the appointment I have to go to is her teeth cleaning at the vet. So I throw on some sweats and formulate a plan of attack to get Grace in her carrier because she got to be at the vet in an hour. She has to be at the vet by 7 a.m. Now, if you have a cat, if you have an old cat, especially if you have an old cat that you did not raise as a kitten, then you know that getting a cat in a cat carrier is like a Herculean task. Just like I had to call on the power of the ancestors to get this cat in her carrier. So I faked her out at the food bowl, scooped her up, and Grace and I are out the door by 6:30. So from 6:30 to about 7:45 in the morning, I'm not at home. And when I open my door at 7:46, Grace is not with me because I had to leave her at the vet to get her teeth cleaned because she has to go under anesthesia and it was going to take all day, right? She's off fighting a vet somewhere, I'm sure. So I turn on my TV and I slide my walking pad from out underneath my couch and I put it next to the wall outlet because I just said your girl is fat, right? And all year I've been on a physical health journey. You know, I'm on that physical health portion of my spiritual journey. I need to get myself physically where I am spiritually. That's what I keep telling myself. And after I have my morning coffee and, you know, patch up the scratch marks that Grace left on my arm, I plan on using my walking pad. So I'm in the middle of putting on my "these big ass titties ain't gonna move" sports bra, right? And there's a knock at my door. I literally have one titty in the bra and one titty out the bra. And I say, "Hey, could you just give me a minute?" And my neighbor but from below me just starts like waking up the whole goddamn building, complaining about how loud I've been all morning. And I'm like, you know, I'll turn down the TV, but I literally just got home. To which she says, "Girl, you playing in my fucking face because you've been making noise since 3 a.m. 3 a.m., guys. I've been making noise, according to her. By the time I got both titties in my bra and a T-shirt on, she's back downstairs. So I do what any rational person does. I phone a friend. Right? Because this is crazy. And the only person I could think to call was my mom because, you know, I got to process this. And my mom is the only person I know who is functioning and up, you know, and ready for a conversation like this at 8 a.m. So I'm sipping on my coffee. I'm talking to Ma and I'm looking outside my patio door and a cop car pulls up. And that brings us to 8:30. A cop is knocking at my door and I'm giving him the non-titty in the bra version of what just happened to me this morning and telling him that I have no idea what she heard because I literally just got home at this point 30 minutes ago, 45 minutes ago. And before that, I was attached to, you know, a CPAP machine and I could not move. I could not physically move and I did not get up to pee because my CPAP machine is working and I can sleep through the whole night, right? To which this young man cop says, "Yeah, and I got out, I got a call, you know, for a noise complaint and I walk up to the building and there's no noise." So lucky for me, the cop that showed up is a decent guy and he asks me if I want to leave my name and contact for his report. And I said, "Fuck no and fuck her," you know, like no. And I went about my day. And before you ask, yes, I did walk on my walking pad. Okay. And yes, I did put, I have a thin cushion to put underneath. So it's already has shock absorbers because it has to carry my weight. And then I put a pad under that to make sure that the shock also didn't hit the ground. Right. So, you know, I'm thinking about my neighbor below me. So fast forward to today. It's Wednesday that I'm recording this and this all came to a head and it's around lunchtime that it happened. And I'm taking a break from work because I do work from home. And around 12 p.m., I'm like washing my delicates, you know, while I'm also the delicates being that these titties ain't gonna move bra, right? And my robot vacuum is also running in quiet mode to get up the cat hair because I have a cat and I also have it's easy for me to have a sinus issue, so I have to get up the cat hair. And the whole time I hear this woman from below me like cursing and screaming like she's a schizophrenic walking the streets off her meds. I mean, she was cursing me out, you hear me? And I could hear every word she said, clearly every syllable, over running water and a quiet running vacuum. So I stop what I'm doing. I call my mom because she's retired again. She's the only person I know is going to answer the phone in the middle of the day. And I have her on the phone with me as a witness. So if something goes wrong, she can, you know, come get help, whatever. Right. And I anoint my head with oil and I say my intentions out loud to my mom. I just want to settle this as calmly as possible. And my mom's like, don't go down there because she's not right. She ain't good. She ain't right in the head. And I'm like, Ma, I just want to settle this. Right. And I go knock on her door, the neighbor's door. As I knock on the door, she says, who is this? And I'm like, it's your neighbor from upstairs. I just want to talk to you about what's going on. Like, I just want to have a conversation with you. And all of a sudden, my neighbor's got this super calm demeanor, right? And I told her up front, first thing I said is, listen, I can hear you yelling and screaming and cussing. And I'm assuming that it's because I'm living my life upstairs. And I want to tell you at the start of this, it is not my intention, nor am I out to cause you distress, right? Like, it's not what I want to do. It's not what I'm aiming to do. That's not what's going on here. Like, I'm not out to get you. But I hear you yelling and you sound like you're in distress. So I thought maybe we should just talk about what's going on. Okay. So, child. So she starts off by telling me that everybody in the building is complaining about me. And I told her everybody in the building is at work or at school, right? And then she told me that I was on Saturday when this all started, that I was lying and I was making noise all Friday night into late Saturday morning. And she was surprised when she heard me say that for like almost 2 hours, I wasn't home. And I said, I offered to show her the CPAP machine app that has timestamps of when I started using it and when I stopped using it, as well as my vet bill, right? To prove that not only was I not home for 2 hours, but for the rest of the day, my cat wasn't home either to cause noise or whatever. So whatever she heard, I don't know what that is. Then she tells me that some of the water from upstairs in my apartment had leaked into her place. And when the neighbors before me who died, I'm pretty sure they died in my apartment, like, she didn't have this issue with them. And I'm like, fair enough. You know, I got distracted when I was washing and, you know, my kitchen floor, I did have water on my kitchen floor and it must have dripped down under the sink into her apartment. But when she shows me, it's like a half a cup of water. Right. So she's making it out to be this huge thing and she's very animated about it. And it's a very emotional moment for her. And I look and I'm like, this isn't a lot of water. Right. So then she says she's never had this issue in all the years that she's lived in my building. And I look around her apartment because I'm inside of her apartment at this point. And she's got like an L-shaped sofa in the corner and a gold framed mirror next to it. And like, there's no other furniture in her living room, not a TV, not a table, not a nothing. There's nothing else in there. And, you know, it looks to me like she just moved in before I did, but you know, who am I to say she lying? Maybe she's a minimalist, right? One thing I know for sure though, is that she isn't a 9-to-5 girl because she's at home on a Wednesday at 1 p.m. with no computer equipment to work from home with, you know, and till I moved in, she had spider webs all over the outside of her windows, like no one had ever cared for her space before. Okay, so I put like my plants and stuff outside and I knock out the unwanted spider webs. I left one or two because it's good for pest control, but like I knock out all the unwanted spider webs and then all of a sudden she got to come outside and knock out her spider webs, right? So there's that. Okay, back to topic. Then she tells me that these small thumps and jumps I make might not sound a lot in my apartment, but it's very, very loud to her. And I told her, you know, sure, I can lower my bed off the bed risers so that way when Grace jumps down, she's not jumping down from as high and then there won't be such a thump when she jumps down. But I also told her, like, honestly, my cat is old. Grace is old. She's not jumping hard enough, loud enough to justify calling the cops on me. And also Grace is, because she's old, she's more of a, you know, find a quiet place to go sleep kind of cat. And, you know, I've been very honest with you guys. I'm fat. I'm fat. I'm not about that galloping life, you know? So maybe this jumping noise that she's hearing isn't actually a jumping noise. Maybe it's the thump from when my HVAC system turns on. Maybe it's, you know, when my robot vacuum runs into something. I don't know. But like the sound that she's hearing, I can prove is not as frequently as she's saying it is not as loud as she's saying it is, and did not justify her to escalate it to the point that a cop was called to my house. Child, then maintenance shows up, because of course maintenance showed up, because she called about a half a cup's worth of water that spilled into her apartment, right? And once maintenance came with me up to my apartment, they tell me, yeah, she's always had problems with her neighbors. So when I review the footage in my mind and I ask myself, when my downstairs neighbor said that the neighbors on the same floor as me, you know, they always gossip, or one neighbor was shaking his head as he was leaving to go to work on Saturday when she had come to knock on my door. Was this neighbor shaking their head because I was being loud, or was this neighbor shaking their head because of what she was up to? You know what I mean? Okay, so when it's all said and done, her and I come to an understanding. I make an effort to minimize noise, and we can agree, the noise we can agree are in my control, like taking my bed off the riser so Grace doesn't jump down from as high, right? Like making sure that I'm not working out so early in the morning, so on the walking pad, so she doesn't hear the walking pad early in the morning. Totally fair things, right? And she also understands that I don't stop living my life just because she's at home on a Wednesday at 1 p.m. with nothing to watch, no work from home job to keep her busy, and clearly nowhere to go, right? Like that's, she said, like that's not, I have to still live my life, right? So before I came to the microphone this evening to talk about, you know, whatever I wanted to talk about, I meditated. And during the meditation, I had a few thoughts. My first thought was, I should go on Amazon, child, and buy those like heavy duty rubber mats that you see in like gyms or whatever. And because they're shock absorbing. And if I get a shock absorber for the washer in my kitchen, and I also get a heavy duty shock absorber for the walking pad, that should really, you know, help ease her state of mind. And I think that's fair, because I had a neighbor who used to live above me who, I mean, child, they thumped so hard that they actually broke the sprinkler system in my ceiling when I lived in my old building. So like, I get where she's coming from, that over time that might really wear her down, right? But also like, this woman called the cops on me and got maintenance involved, and I'm guessing is gossiping about me to neighbors, if I take her word for it, right? Because I don't, at this point she's over exaggerating, I'm not sure. And she's like shouting like a mad woman in an empty apartment, and all she really had to do was knock on my door, wait for me to put my titties in my bra and find a shirt, and have a rational and calm conversation with me. Like, even for the cops to have come as quickly as they did on Saturday, even before she knocked on my door, she had to call the cops. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that was the first thing she thought to do was, I know what I'll do. I'll get her. I'm going to call the cops on her about a noise that neither the cop nor I can figure out what she's talking about. So she had all this rage, and even when I talked to her today, like, it started off with a lot of emotional immaturity without actually being adult enough to actively confront the problem and figure out like how we can figure things out together. Right. And she even admits to me that she's being reactive. She goes, she's like, sorry, girl. You know, I was just flying off the handle. I was just being reactive. And the whole time I'm trying to like hold firm to my own blessings, hold firm to my own intentions, because trust and believe, I've been blessed, right? The cop was annoyed at her for making him come out to my apartment for absolutely nothing. And lucky for me, he was respectful and I was unharmed in the situation, right? The maintenance men and I are staring at each other because there is no major flooding. This flooding that she reported, it didn't happen, right? Like, I was a little careless. I spilled more water than I should have on the floor. I didn't realize that it was kind of hollow under my sink and that it went straight down into her building, like her entire unit. But like, this major flooding that she reported that's destroying her, you know, her countertops and all that, like that, that's not real. None of that was reality, right? I think I try to show compassion to her, I think, because I was like that once. I was like that once. I feel like, especially us Black folks in the room, I think you understand what I'm saying. Like, your whole life is a series of reactions and escalations. Am I being respected? Am I not getting respect? Right? This person did this to me, so I'm going to escalate the situation by doing XYZ to them. That will show them, you know. And you know what? When I was like that the most, like in my younger years, I did show them. But my issues were never really solved. I either pushed people away or the person was just as petty and reactive as me. And that just escalated the problem. And I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie. That from Saturday until today, Wednesday, I wanted to be like that again. Every fiber of my being was like, fuck this spiritual shit, right? Fuck this, you know, compassion. Fuck this, you know, living your blessing. Fuck this, keeping my inner life calm so I can solve my problem. Fuck all that. Just tell her about herself and rip off the synthetic wigs glued to her eyelashes, you know? Like, I so bad wanted to just give in to that, you know, especially when I heard her yelling like a crazy person. I was like, I should call the cops. She's yelling like a crazy person right now, instead of just knocking on my door and being like, girl, what are you doing in there? Like, I should call the cops and have them do a wellness check, because clearly she's not okay. You know, but I didn't do that, because two reactive Black people is just chaos. It's just chaos. What did the Boondocks call it? They called it a nigga moment. That's it. They called it a nigga moment. And I don't want to have nigga moments anymore in my life. I wish I could tell you how I learned to check myself from being so reactive, from being so fiery about every tiny minor inconvenience that didn't serve me, or any slight that I felt someone was holding against me, and then, you know, catastrophizing that slight or inconvenience in my mind for it to be bigger than it really is, you know? I wish I could tell you how I stopped making, you know, level 3 minor issues into like apocalyptic events, or even how I was able to start looking at the apocalyptic events and then breaking them down into manageable chunks so I could solve for the problem. And don't get me wrong, I am not completely zen. I am not removed from my earthly existence that so much so that things don't upset me or make me want to scream. Like, I want to definitely go outside and slash this woman's tires. Even now, I got to be like, Coco, don't panic. Don't get angry. It's okay. It's going to be okay. We can do this because we are a product of people who have done more with less, right? Our first step is to go and confront the issue and figure out what the actual problem is. So let's focus on that. Let's not panic. Let's not get angry. Let's not go flying off the handle. You know, I'm just saying it. I guess it takes a little bit more to push me there. And when I'm at my best, I try to stay resolution focused when I'm at my best. Some of the spiritual epiphanies I've had over the years, it's two really. The first one is, what can I control? What can't I control? If I can control it, then I will handle it to the best of my ability. If I cannot control it, then let me figure out how to, you know, move on. Because there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do. And then the second spiritual epiphany I've had over the years is, does this matter to me? Like, does this matter? A lot of times when you ask yourself, does this matter? If the answer is, well, it's the principle, then it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right? Because you can work around that person. You can work around that situation and then solve for the problem. Or, you know, 2 days from now, a week from now, a month from now, that situation, that person is completely different. And what you put yourself through, you know, what past you had to go through didn't matter at all, right? So I'm not saying that's easy. I'm not saying that I've mastered any of that. I'm just saying those are a lot of questions I tend to ask myself lately. I think that comes from years of working in retail, child. I was just like, I can't, retail is a beast. I can't invest my spiritual and emotional wellness into these Karens, you know, who want to complain and go out of their way and make small issues much bigger so that they can feed their need to win some imaginary game, you know? Because when I worked retail, I was a manager most of the time. I was handling complaints and it wore me out, you know? And when I did feed into it, when I did allow my spiritual and emotional wellness to feed into the problem, y'all, I could feel my nerves being set on fire, like my physical nerves in my body. I was hot all over. I could feel my heart racing. I could feel the tension tighten in my head. I could feel, you know, the grip of my fist as it balled up, and I could feel the tears in my eyes. And I just knew the panic was coming, and the panic was coming because I couldn't yell back, because if I yelled back, then I lost my job and I needed my job. I had student loans to pay, right? So over time, I guess I realized it was just easier to detach a little bit, to just remove myself spiritually, emotionally from the problem, and then just solve the problem and then get them out of my goddamn store, you know? And then towards the end of my retail career, when I started working more into office space and I started working more on my inner life, you know, while I was getting into witchcraft, and then eventually when I settled into my hoodoo, I guess I just felt more equipped to detach just enough to handle situations as they come to me. And in turn, you know, I've gotten less panic attacks. I've gotten a lot less fiery around things that don't matter or are just not in my control. And I haven't had nearly as many nigga moments, or I guess I've had the clarity to see the nigga moment coming. You know, again, I'm not perfect by any means. There's still one person in my life, they could breathe the wrong way and I'm ready to fight. Because everything they do is malicious. Everything they do feels like an attack. And even if I give grace, if I give 10 minutes of grace, they're going to take 20 minutes of they're going to take 20 minutes to terrorize me, you know? So so I'm not perfect. I'm just saying, like, it's definitely a skill I had to learn over time, to just be cool, man. Just be cool. So even when I find myself in moments like this with my neighbor, I can take a breath and admit, yeah, there are some things I can do to be a better neighbor. And I can talk to her like she's my cousin instead of like an enemy, even though she called the cops on me for no reason, even though she had maintenance men in my home tearing up my kitchen while I'm trying to work, you know, because they want to make sure that it's not a bigger issue, because she made it sound like a much bigger issue than it was. Even though she was literally cursing me out but talking sweet to my face when I got down there. Even when my mom and my current boss are telling me not to even go down there and speak to her because she's showing signs of, I don't know, at best being a hood rat and at worst just being mentally unwell, right? All while I myself, I'm a raw nerve, right? And she's a raw nerve because she literally thinks that I'm living my existence just to annoy her. Like, she literally thinks that everything I do in my apartment is to spite her, you know? And that's not the case. I'm just living. I'm just living my life. I'm just vacuuming, right? I'm just cleaning my bathroom. I'm just burning some incense. Like, I'm not living my life to spite her, right? Yeah, through all of that, I can take a moment to be steady. I can take a moment to be steady because I have to be steady. Because if I'm not steady, I make things worse, right? I don't solve the problem. I have to own up to my own part of the problem while also firmly and politely holding my neighbor to task. I don't know what you were hearing at 3 o'clock in the morning because I literally can't move at night because I have a CPAP machine on. I can't move. I'm attached to a machine all night long. So I don't know what you heard running around at 3 in the morning. My cat, was it my cat? Maybe, but that night she was tucked against my side, right? Because she's she's trying to wake me up because she wants to eat something. She tried doing that all night long. So I don't know what you heard, but I know I wasn't making noise at 3 in the morning, and I know I wasn't making noise between 6 and 8 because I wasn't home. You know what I mean? So like, I was polite about it, but I had to hold her to task, you know. And I guess being constantly reactive and petty only leads to more reactiveness and more pettiness. And I guess at the start of my spiritual journey, I just decided I'm so tired of living on the edge of my nerves all the time. You know, I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being upset and angry all the time. I can't do it anymore. So, you know, spiritual cocoa for the win. I mean, my mom definitely did throw a curse, but I was cool. So, you know, I'll take that for a win. Okay. So we've reached the portion of the podcast where I find something from online and I read it out to you guys and to react to it or comment on it or answer a question. So this comes from Facebook, and I think this sentiment has been one that I've seen a lot lately, and I thought would be really good, you know, for a spiritual chats episode. It says, y'all really just be doing whatever you feel drawn to and think it's a legit practice. When you go off script and start doing whatever you want, that's not tradition. Nobody can guide you on some ish you're making up as you go. Remember that white girl who expired trying to summon Papa Legba? It's not all about your intentions. This is the slogan of other witches. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so be wise. Okay, so why this comment on an episode about reactiveness and losing your cool and all that? And nigga moments, right? By no means do I want to invalidate this person and their beliefs, because their beliefs are strong in this, and I respect that. I do think, though, that this is rage bait. This is rage bait, because in the same forum, by the same people, they'll tell you that you can't do whatever you want to do, but also you're not entitled to knowledge. You're not entitled to a teacher's knowledge, and don't write things down, and don't follow it like it's some sort of recipe. You need to be spiritually open. So things like this can really make people feel like whatever they do is not enough. It sounds nice to say this kind of stuff on paper, but in actuality, it's just rage bait. It's just rage bait. There is no tried and true formula to hoodoo. I don't really care what people say. There's no one way to do it. And because we are modern people, we're not doing it the same way that our ancestors did. Not really. Now, he said Papa Legba and all that, and that's a religion thing. That has to do with a religious situation. And I'm the first person to tell you that you should definitely utilize divine powers in your practice within their cultural context, within the framework with which they are normally used. So, you know, there is a step-by-step process working with Vodou or with Ifa or the Orisha traditions or whatever. I get that. But Hoodoo is not so rigid. Hoodoo is not so unmalleable. Like, you can move Hoodoo in a way that you need to move it to fit your life, to fit your family, to fit your region. The way that it shows up in my family or in my practice is not going to be the way that it shows up in yours. And that's okay. That's a good thing, right? We have some commonalities. That's why we can talk about it, like a podcast like this. That's why we can talk about it. But commonalities does not mean rigid tradition. And if you do have a teacher and you're following in their tradition, you're following in their tradition and their school of magic and their belief system, and there's a power attached to that, sure. But just because you might be someone out here who does not have a teacher, who only has community, who isn't trying to be, you know, a person for the world, they're just trying to be hoodoos for themselves, that doesn't mean your practice is invalid. So when people make comments like this, it's just to enrage you. It's just to get the clicks, get the comments, get the reactiveness out of you. That's all it is. Because what they said doesn't, what they just said doesn't mean anything, right? It's holding everyone to a box of hoodoo that not everyone can fit into. Maybe you are Wiccan and your magic, like you're Wiccan as a religion, but your magic system is hoodoo. That's a possibility. That's a thing, right? What if I'm a staunch Christian? I don't believe in Papa Legba, so that means nothing to me. You understand what I'm saying? Like, these kind of comments that you see online are just to enrage you, just to get you to comment and be a part of the conversation. Nothing will get you a part of the conversation more like disagreeing. They do it with politics online. They do it with the whole men versus women 50-50 conversation online. All of that stuff is designed to get you to click, get you to like, get you to comment, get you to have an opinion and have such a deep, enraging opinion that you share it online, right? That's what that you engage. That's what that's for. So when you see comments like this, normally when I see comments like this, I try my best not to engage. This is one of the places where I definitely am not Zen. because I'm just like, what are you talking about? Your truth is not the truth, right? So it's don't engage with this kind of stuff. The next time you're on your timeline, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and you see that the algorithm is pushing you rage bait, I want you to take a second, ask yourself, does this matter? And if it don't, then swipe, look up cat videos. I've been looking up Elmo videos lately because Elmo's freaking hilarious. He's so funny. Just to get your algorithm to change. Yeah. But, I don't know. It's, if you have a teacher and you have a teacher in that tradition and you follow that tradition, that's great. But if you don't, I would say respect other cultural divine beings. I would say respect other people's practices, but do you, boo. And don't worry about what others have to comment on it. Don't even worry about it. right. So we've reached the end of the podcast. Hey, guys, thank you so much for staying as long as you did. I appreciate you. Before we get out of here, cousin, I want to let you know that you deserve the world, truly. You deserve the world. Your inner life is just as important as recipes and spells and work that you do to better your existence on this planet. Your inner life is what allows you to put things into perspective. You know, you get to choose what's important. You get to choose what matters. You get to decide how something will play a role in your emotional life. You decide that. It might not seem so magical, you know, it might not seem so so hoodoo, but it is being able to regulate yourself, choosing what you allow in, not allowing others to dictate how you react to a situation. That is a mastery that very few of us will ever experience in our lifetime, I think. And it's a continuous struggle. Trust me, I know it's a continuous struggle. But if you call on your blessings, cousin, you'll master it and your blessings will come to you. I'll see you guys next time.